All right. All good. Here we go. So the topic today, I don't think we've ever done this before, and it's a fascinating one, is the topic of Lech HaMishnah. The Parsha has within it, things about the Man. The Man is the source for Lech HaMishnah. And we want to cover basically two separate topics today. The first is, how could it be, how do we understand the concept of Asmachta? In the question of whether Lech HaMishnah is Doraisa Drabanan, as we'll see, the Gemara says it's a chiv through Lech HaMishnah, and there's a pasuk. The simple understanding is if there's a pasuk, it's a Doraisa, and yet it's a big machlokas. So that's one topic we want to look at. The second one is simply the mechanics of Lech HaMishnah. What are the halachas? Halacha lemaisa and also theoretical halachas revolving around Lech HaMishnah. Okay, let's start at the very beginning. The pasuk in this week's parsha, if I could find it, yes I can, says, Shatu ha'am v'lakichu v'tachanu barei chayim o dachu b'midocha. Right, the people walked around and picked up the meat. I'm sorry, picked up the man, and they ground it or they beat it. Ubishluba parur v'asu oto ugot, and they made cookies. V'hayata amok kitam. And its taste was the taste of some kind of oil cake.
This is Parshat Balotcha.
Is that bad? Oh, you're Pashas Naso.
Just
I
say.
completely forgot. All right, it's a fair point. Okay, this shiur is for next week's parsha, for you. Okay, there were plenty of things in Nasa I could have done. We're such Zionists. You're going to have to stick with me. When do we catch up this year? Soon, right?
I think Chukat Balak.
All right, that's close enough. Okay, the next pasuk says, "Uvereda tatal al machane laila yered haman alav." The tal, lands on the man. We'll come back to that. Here's the Gemara. Source number two, Gemara in Brachos Lamed Tesamid Beis says, "Amar of Abba, u'bishabbos chayav adam livtzoa al shtei kikarot." On Shabbos, you have to make a bracha. I'm translating livtzoa. It's a bit of a machlokas, but you have to make a bracha on shtei kikarot, on two loaves. My taima. What's the reason? The pasuk says, lecha mishnah ksiv. And that's based on, that is the pasuk in Shmos, in source number three. Vayhi bayom hashishi laktu lecha mishnah, right? It says lecha mishnah three times. It's how we learn three meals on Shabbos. Shnei ha'omer lo'echad, vayavo'u kol nisiyei ha'idah, vayagidu l'moshe. In a bizarre sort of narrative, the Torah tells us that on the first Friday, Bnei Yisrael took Lech HaMishneh, and the Nisiyim told on them to Moshe as if they were doing something wrong, because Moshe told them to only take one Omer. And it's strange that all of Klal Yisrael understood that on Shabbos they were supposed to take two, and the Nisiyim somehow didn't. But let's just ask ourselves, what does it mean in the context of the pasuk, Laktu Lechem Mishneh? What does it mean? It can't mean that they took two rolls, right? They took two challahs. Rolls didn't fall from Shemayim, right? The man, what it was, is very thin stuff. That's true. It tastes however you want it to taste, but it didn't look however you wanted it to look. So what does it mean, Lechem Mishneh? Anybody?
Well, the man was called Lechem min haShamayim. That's how it's referred to in Tehillim.
Good. So what does Lechem Mishneh mean?
Double Mishneh is double.
Correct. It's a quantitative statement. That's the whole point I wanted to make. It doesn't describe two loaves. It describes a double portion. From presumably you could make two loaves out of it, but it describes a double portion, which calls into question the idea that the Gemara has in source number two, that Lecha Mishneh means two loaves. But certainly, we still have the question. And the question is Lech HaMishneh d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So, if you look in the Gemara, it looks like it's d'oraisa, right? The Gemara says this is a chiyuv, chayav livtzoa al shtei kikarot, and as a pasuk, Lech HaMishneh. And that's what the Taz says. Source number four says the Taz. Aval, hapat de lechem mishnehu. The Taz is talking about priorities in what you need to purchase for Shabbos. So he says, but the bread, which is lechem mishnah, hu kodem liyayin kiddush. If you only have money to purchase wine or bread, you should purchase bread. Shocking line, the halacha mishnah lekuli alma deoraisa, because everybody would agree that lechem mishnah is deoraisa. Kedoma rab beperk kach kol kisve. It's the same gemara in Shabbos. Dechsiv lechem mishnah v'shalosh suudot, says the Taz, gam kein deoraisa. Okay, a connected halacha, he says, is that eating three meals on Shabbos is also deoraisa. Upas beinan, to eat a meal on Shabbos, you need bread. Okay, to the Issa b'simon reish ayin dalet v'im kein kol shekein chi kodem l'neiros Chanukah she'eno elamid rabana. Right, in the context, it happens to be a Chanukah simon. What do you buy if you have limited money? And says the Taz, you buy lecha mishnah because lecha mishnah is doraisa.
Yes. You had called out the Nesi'im. You were wondering why they didn't understand what was going on, whereas Klal Yisrael did. Yes. The answer, it probably is that everybody gathered the regular portion. But as you know, the Torah says that if you bought less, by the time you came home, it had increased to the proper amount. So therefore, everybody collected the regular portion. By the time they came home, it was double. And the Nesi'im then went to Moshe and said, "What's going on?
From me to accuse you of saying a vart, but it's not in the psukim. I think my question is a fair question. It might be the answer, but it's not in the psukim. It just seems strange that everybody knew the Nesi'im also collected man.
Yeah, they also came home with double." And then they went to Moshe and said, "What's going on?"
Okay, all right, I'll accept that, even though I'm not happy with it. But I hear. Okay, back to the point. So the Taz thinks that Lecha Mishnah is Doraisa, which again is a shocking thing, mostly because, the Lecha Mishnah the Torah records has nothing to do with two roles. Okay, the Magen Avram is the majority position in the Achronim in source number 5. B'miyesh lo pat achar mazon gimel sudot asur la'atzil. If there's a fire on Shabbos, you can't save extra food. Af agav ditzarech l'chol suda ki kash shalem v'lecha mishnah. Why not? Mikol makom eino chova kol kach. Says the Magen Avram, it's not such a big deal. You're right. It's nice to have lecha mishnah, and we're all makbin on lecha mishnah, but it's not an absolute requirement, which sounds like for the Magen Avraham, it's not even drabanan. Okay, I think most of us, if people participated in this year, I think most people would vote for Lecha Mishnah not being a doraisa. It's not quoted by any of the Moneh HaMitzvos. It doesn't seem like it's a mitzvah doraisa. Also, the pasuk is narrative. Vayhi bayom ha-shishi in source number 3, lak tu lecha mishneh shnei omer l'achad vayivor kol nesi'a idea vayagidu l'moshe. It doesn't seem like then there's an imperative in that pasuk. It doesn't seem like there's a commandment. It's just a story. Now it happens to be the story has lecha mishneh. And so it's a lovely thing that we have a minhag in memory of the story to eat lecha mishneh. But that it should be a requirement seems a little far-fetched. Presumably, the Taz is not supposed to be understood literally. Presumably the Taz means that there's a source for this in the Torah. Why do I say that? I say that because of a ritva that we're about to read together. But first, some words of intro. This is, arguably the most famous ritva ever, mostly because it's a really, really radical view. Right? If you don't think that Lecha Mishnah is Doraisa, so probably you would describe it as an asmachta. An asmachta would be described for most of us as some kind of mnemonic, some kind of idea that's buried in the Torah, that if we attach a drabanan to the pasuk, we're more likely to remember it. Something like that. The Ritva disagrees completely and wholeheartedly, and he picks on other Rishonim without saying the name. Look at source number 6. This is a very, very famous Ritva in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Ritva, Shekol mashi yeshlo asmachta min ha-posuk. Anything that's called an asmachta from a posuk, he'ira kadosh baruch hu she'ra'uy la'asod kein. It's as if God said it's appropriate to do this. Ela shelo kiva'o chova, but God didn't make it mandatory. U'misaro l'chachamim. This is the Ritva. There are no fake asmachtas, right? It's not like you have a halacha, then you find a pasuk that you attach it to. Says the Ritva, the idea is in the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it, but he didn't make it a requirement, and Chachamim came and made a requirement. And says the Ritva, second line, v'zed davar borur ve'emet, v'lo k'divrei ha'mefarshim ha'asmachtos, shehu k'derech siman shenitano chachamim, v'lo shekavanat ha'tara l'kach. Right? Most Rishonim really think that. That an asmachta is just something that helps us remember something, but it doesn't really reveal the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ritva, it does. And now he says, chas v'shalom, that such a thing is true. Yishtakea hadavar, the thing, this idea should be forgotten. V'lo yomar, shezo da, v'lo yomar, you should forget this idea and not repeat it. Shezo dad minutu. Says the Ritva, if you think that, you're a min. Okay, if anybody on this shir thinks that, know that so does the Rambam. But okay, the Ritva is angry about it, and he says it makes you a min. Aval ha-Torah he'ira b'kach u'misara chiyuv ha-davar likvo ala chachamim im yirtzu kimo shenemar v'asita al pi ha-davar she'agid l'cha. The Torah has an idea, and it suggests if the chachamim want to turn this into a mitzvah, they can. Ulefikach timtza hachachamim notnim b'chol makom ra'aya o zecher o asmachta ledivrei min haTorah. So you often find chachamim, you know, attaching a drabanan to a pasuk, using a pasuk as a source for a drabanan. Klomar, she'einam mechadshim davar milibam. They didn't make it up. In fact, every drabanan is hinted to in the Doraisa. Shehi temima, v'chas v'shalom, shehi chaseira klum. So, you know, it's fascinating. Says the Ritva, there's really no such thing as a drabanan. Drabanans are just expressions of Doraisas that were not fully formed in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted at something, and Chachamim saw it, and they implemented it. But God forbid, says the Ritva, that an asmachta is just some device upon which we hang drabanans, or we sort things out, or we base things. Now, you know, it's not for me to decide who's right or wrong, obviously. But one of the hardest things in learning is when the Gemara quotes a pasuk and there's a machlokis about whether it's Doraisa or Drabana, right? The rule should be, if there's a pasuk, it's Doraisa. But clearly that's not the case. And, you know, these are machlokisim all over the place, right? The Rambam says that the pasuk that says La'avdo b'chol of avchem, that's the source for the mitzvah Doraisa of tefillah. What does that have to do with Lavdo B'chol Levavchem? Right? The Ramban would say, Lavdo B'chol Levavchem means you have to try really, really hard when you do mitzvahs, something akin to mitzvahs Shrichos Kavana. Okay? The Gemara has, for example, here's a good example in the opposite direction. Everybody knows that taking Dalet Minim, which includes Elulav, Hadassim, Aravos, and Esrog, is a mitzvah Doraisa on the first day for sure, right? Okay, what's an esrog? So the Gemara has a whole discussion, you know, with 10 different proofs from Psukim. Does that mean that before the Gemara came about, no one knew what an esrog was? did they used to take an apple with the dalet minim, and then they found a pasuk that said it's not an apple, it's an esrog? Of course not. Everybody always took an esrog. The Gemara has an interesting, maybe you would even say academic discussion, because they want to have a makor for what an esrog is. But I would have thought, till I saw the Ritva, it's just an asmachta, meaning I know what an esrog is. Okay, there's a million psukim that might prove that an esrog is an esrog. Hadar, you know, a fruit that's on the tree all year long. All these things might be true. But says the Ritva, no. If the Gemara quotes a pasuk, then there must be something in the pasuk, and there must be an intention somehow of the rabbis that this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Now, you know, what do you do with Hanukkah? What do you do with Purim? There are theories. In fact, if anybody wants a fascinating Ramban, the first Ramban in Parshas Baal Oscha basically hints to Chanukah min HaTorah minayin, which is a very, you know, un-Ramban-like Ramban, but it's fascinating. If you come to Yeshivat Har Etzion this Shabbos, I'm planning to talk about it. Okay, that's just a separate point. So what do we have? So we have a mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. We have a machlokus with us at Doraisa Drabanan. I'm trying to explain the Taz based on this Ritva that doesn't really mean it's a Doraisa. It means the idea is found in a Doraisa, but I don't know if it's really true. It's just my suggestion. But the idea of Asmachta is something that comes up all the time. And this Shitas HaRitva is really important.
So according to the Ritva, all the Chachamim are doing are fleshing out something that's already there.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that he thinks that in every single case, but yes, that's what he says. There's no question about it. Okay, now let's ask ourselves, you know, what is Lecha Mishnah? How are we Yotze Lecha Mishnah? How does the Halacha work? So let's start with the Chaya Adam, source number 7, the Chaya Adam, the Rav Rashi of Krakow. The Chaya Adam just, you know, was the Mishnah Berurah before the Mishnah Berurah. Everybody paskin like the Chaya Adam, every Ashkenazi paskin like the Chaya Adam. Then Halacha was updated, you know, 150 years later by the Chafetz Chaim. So people started paskining like the Mishnah Berurah. But the Chaya Adam is a very important sefer. Says the Chaya Adam in source number 7. V'nachon lin hog. Shezesh shebotzeya yechavein liftor bebirchas hamotzi kol hamisubin. Right? Says the Chai Adam, the way it works is, let's say the balabais, the abba, the tati, the daddy, whoever he is, has the lecha mishnah in front of him. I guess it could be a mommy. Let's stay away from that for now. Okay? Has the lecha mishnah in front of him. So he says the minug should be that when he makes a motzi, he has kavana to be yotzi, to be motzi everybody else at the table. V'gam yomar lahamisubin shiyichavnu latzeipa birkato. Says the Chai Adam, he should also tell people, I guess before they wash, that they should not make their own bracha. They should have kavana to be yotze with his bracha. Why? Kidei shekulam yetsu b'lecha mishnah. Before you make a motzi, he thinks he should say birshut rabotai. Afal pi shehu abal abayis so hagadol. He doesn't need anybody else's rishus. V'hu miderech anava. It's miderech anava. It's also a reminder to the people in the room to pay attention to his bracha so that they'll be yotze. Okay, how does this work? It's strange because normally, even though the halacha is kind of otherwise, our minhag is certainly not that we're motzi somebody in a birchas hananin, right? And hamotzi is a birchas hananin. So how does it work that I could be motzi somebody in a birchas hananin and somehow they get credit for lecha mishnah? So the answer is as follows. The answer is, if a person gets a piece of bread at the table and he makes a bracha on that piece of bread, so what I've done with the motzi is unrelated to him. He's made a bracha, he eats. It means he didn't get a piece of, and he didn't participate in the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. It's very, very similar. It might not be exactly the same, but it's very, very similar to a discussion that takes place in the poskim about Kiddush during the day. Kiddush during the day doesn't have, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. The only bracha for Kiddush during the day is Baruch Atah Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam Borei Pri Hagafen. And so what you have to say, and really you have to say, because otherwise it doesn't work, is that it's a Birchas Hananin that doubles as a Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay, the mechanics we don't really have time for, but when you say Borei Pri Hagafen during the day, you mean two things. Both, okay, I'm making a bracha so I could drink my wine. But the second thing is, I'm being Mekadosh Shabbos. Now, how are you Mekadosh Shabbos with a bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen? I don't know. It's hard to explain. But however you do it, Shabbos day with Kiddush, you do it three times on Shabbos with bread. When I make a bracha of Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, you're supposed to sit quietly and answer my bracha. Why? Because I'm being motzi you in a mitzvah, either d'oraisa or d'rabanan, of Lecha Mishnah. Okay, so that I think that's a fascinating idea. Maybe there are other examples other than Shabbos Day Kiddush and Hamotzi, but those are two examples where you're saying a Birchas Hananin, but in fact, the idea behind it is greater than just a Birchas Hananin, and you're being motzi people in a bracha in a way that we normally don't do for a Birchas Hananin. Okay? Okay. Let's go on. Source number 8. Says the Mechaber in Simon Reish Ayin Dalet Sif Aleph, Botzea al Shtei Kikarot Shleimot. When you do Lecha Mishnah, you make a bracha on two whole rolls or two whole chalos. Sha'ochei Shtehen Biado. First thing is, says the Mechaber, you should hold both in your hands. Ubotzea hatachtona. So the way the Mechaber has it, you have them stacked. They're not next to each other. There's one on top of the other. And you cut the bottom one. Says the Ramah, v'davka b'leile Shabbos. No, you only cut the bottom one on Friday night. Aval b'yom ha-Shabbat. But on Shabbos day, o b'leile Yom Tov, or if it's Yom Tov and it's not Shabbos, botzea al ha'el yonah. What's the reason? He's not going to tell us. Va'atam hu al derech ha-kabbalah. Okay, so everybody knows this. Everybody knows that on Friday night, you're supposed to cut the bottom challah. Just as an aside, you know, it's a problem to cut the bottom one because you're supposed to cut the one you come in contact with first. That's the general halacha for Birchas Hananin. The way to get around it is to make the bottom one closer to you so that you then, in theory, are cutting the one that's closer to you and you're also cutting the bottom one. So bottom one Friday night, top one Shabbos day, and at Sudash Lishit, although we'll talk about Sudash Lishit more in a second. Okay, so that's basically how you do it. Now, just so you'll know, there is a minhag to cut both chalos. I don't know whose minhag that is. It's not mine, but people do it. And, you know, if you don't want to cut two big chalas and that's your minhag, okay, so have a small challah roll. So now you're cutting the one challah and a challah roll, so you don't have that many leftovers. But that is a minhag, and if it's your minhag, you know, good for you. Okay, now let's go to source number 9. It's a basic halacha that everybody observes. Let's go back to 8 for 1 second to point out the following. Let me just go back. You know, I read it too quickly. It says, Botzei al shtei kikarot, and then in parens, it says, Shleimot. And I bolded it, so I'd remember to do it, which I then forgot to do. Achronim say that it's the Ramah that added the word Shleimot. And that's definitely our minhag, right? That we do it on Shleimot. But just to point out the obvious, which is, that's not a mun-related halacha, right? No one had, you know, whole rolls didn't fall from heaven. Nobody got a challah from Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah meant a double portion. Okay, maybe the idea of using Shleimos when we do Lecha Mishnah is to remind us of the double portion. But beyond that, it's problematic why Lecha Mishnah would specifically be, you know, two whole challos when there was no such thing with respect to the man. Okay. Let's move on to 9. Says the Mechaber in Simon Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Tes, צריך שיהיה מפה על השולחן תחס הפת, ומפה אחרת פרוסה על גביו. The lechem mishnah has to be covered top and bottom. We usually do this by putting, you know, some kind of cutting board underneath, and by putting some fancy challah cover on the top. Okay, we'll see why in a second. Now, there's much discussion about the basic question of why is it that we feel the need to cover the challah? Okay, everybody's heard different things. I think there are three shitos. We'll look at them together. But why you cover the challah will also tell you the answer to when you uncover the challah. Right? Do you uncover the challah after Kiddush? Do you uncover the challah before you make a motzi? Do you uncover the challah after you make a motzi? What's proper? Okay, so let's look at source number 10. Just to give us an insight into one of the explanations. Source number 10 is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Amud Bet. The Gemara says very straightforwardly, She'ein mevi'in et ha'shulchan ela im kein kidesh. The minhag used to be, like at the Seder kind of, that they didn't bring the table on Friday night until after Kiddush. Ve'im hevi, and if you brought the table before Kiddush, Pores ma'pa u'mekadesh. Then you cover the challah and you make Kiddush. And then, you know, then you could eat your meal. So what's this talking about? So let's look in the tour in source 11. It's a whole bunch of different places, but the tour brings all three shitos. So I think it's worth reading it carefully. Okay, says the tour. U'kishyeshev le'echol. First line of number 11. When you sit down to eat, yihyelo mapa prusa la lechem. You have to cover the lechem mishnah, which all of us do. Why? Ditanya, first reason. That number one I put in, not the tour. I thought it would help us. I'm not sure it makes such a big difference, but we'll try anyway. Because the Gemara says, ein mivien etashulchan elo imkein kidesh. Right? That's what we saw in number 10 in the Gemara in Pesachim. They used to not bring the table literally to the table until after Kiddush. V'im hevin, if they brought it, pores mapo mikadesh. Afal pi shet sarich sheyarok shulchano bima'od yom. According to everybody, you have to set the table Friday afternoon. Vadait sarich sheyaruchu misudar b'makom acher. Right? They don't set the table Friday night. It's already set in another place. U'mikol makom. Ein mivino tolifanav ad achar akidush. You don't bring the table in to the person till after Kiddush. Why? Kidei shehein nikar sheba lichvod Shabbat. Interesting halacha. Says the Ramah, I'm sorry, says the Tur, you know, if you have a set table and everybody, which we all do, and everybody comes in from shul, what makes it clear that the table was set for Shabbos? But if you make Kiddush, and now, you know, it's officially Shabbos, and then you bring in the table, that's covered Shabbos. Okay, that's an announcement that it's not just that I'm having a nice meal, but I'm having a nice meal because it's Shabbos. Hilkach. Therefore, okay, 1, 2, 3, fourth line. Im hevi'uhu kodem hakiddush. If the table happens to be there before Kiddush, Pores alav mapa, so you cover, it's pores alav mapa means you cover the bread. But I think he really means you cover the food. Ki'ilu eino kan, as if the food is not there, umekadesh, umesir hamapa. And then you do like, you know, ta-dam, I'm taking the challah cover off, and now we have all this food for Shabbos. Okay. Now, this is a din in the old days where everybody had their own private little table. So it wasn't such a big deal. Everybody went into the kitchen. When they washed, they carried back in their little table. Aval ledidan, but for us, sheshulchanot shalonu gidolim. Right, Tosis lived in a house like we do, had a big, big table. V'torach lahaviyam achar kiddush ulahafsik ben kiddush l'suda. Right, if you move your table out of the dining room, aside from the fact that it doesn't fit in any other room, it would be a big tircha to interrupt your meal to carry the table back. So therefore, he says, nohagim lahaviyam lechadchila kodem hakiddush v'lifros ma'po lekadesh. So says Tosfos, why do we cover the Lecha Mishnah? We cover the Lecha Mishnah out of covered Shabbos. Because really, we should only bring the table in after Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says, after Kiddush. Now, it happens to be that our tables are too big to move, so the table is set before Kiddush. But if you cover the Lecha Mishnah, then you uncover, so you're announcing to everybody that this is L'Kavod Shabbos. Now, the halachic insight here is interesting. According to the Gemara, and certainly according to Tosfos, there really shouldn't be any food on the table when you make Kiddush.
People have that bug.
You shouldn't have salads. You shouldn't have the soup. You just have a Lecha Mishnah, which is covered. Or maybe according to this, it could be uncovered by that point. There's a famous, it's funny, but there's a famous story about the Rav, who apparently never went to like RCA conventions except to speak. Like he didn't want to go for Shabbos. So they bugged him 1 year to go for Shabbos. And he said, you know, you're going to regret it because I'll make you keep my chumras. And they said, okay, we'd be happy to. All great, all great, great. So they come to eat Friday night in the hotel ballroom. And like in most hotels, the food is on the table already. You know, it's not just their challahs. The Rav made them take everything off. Because he said it wasn't covered Shabbos. That's not the minhag. I will point out that in an article on Lecha Mishnah, Rav Asher makes fun of that minhag. He doesn't like it at all. But it clearly was the Rav's minhag. And it strikes me that given the Shita, to the extent possible, we, you know, should not put food on the table till after Kiddush. We do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's our minhag, apparently. Okay, good. That's the first explanation. Source number second explanation in the tour, the third full line from the bottom. There's a number two there. My cursor is right there. Ubi Rishalmi Kamar. It has nothing to do with that first reason of covered Shabbos. Why do you cover the challah? Shelo yire hapat boshto. The bread shouldn't be embarrassed. Peirush. What does it mean? Shehu mukdam bepasuk. Because bread comes before wine in the Shivas Haminim, v'haya ra'uy lahaktimo bibracha. Really, whenever you have a choice between hamotzi and hagafen, you're supposed to make hamotzi. That's the first bracha. U'magdimin bebirchas hayayin. But instead, you're making a bracha on birchas hayayin. So therefore, says the Yerushalmi, you have to cover your challah. It doesn't really mean that the challah will see the wine and get jealous. But it means if your challah is uncovered, really you're supposed to make kiddush on the challah. And or really you're supposed to make hamotzi first and make kiddush afterwards. We sometimes forget you can make kiddush on bread. You can make kiddush on challah. So instead, says the Yerushalmi, so that you don't have a choice between bread and wine, especially since the proper choice is bread and not wine. So the answer is we cover the bread now. We cover the bread. I don't have a choice anymore between bread and wine. The bread is ki'ilu, not at the table. Last one. Source number three, second to last full line. This is, I think, the most famous one. It's interesting that Taz never heard, the Tour never heard it. V'ani shamati tam lasot zecher leman. Third thing is, I heard another reason that you do it zecher leman. That's why you cover the Lecha Mishnah. Why? As we saw already, Shahaya Munach Kimo Bikufsa, because the man was laid out as if it was in a box. Tal Lamala, dew fell on top of it, Vital Lamata, and dew fell underneath it. The Pasuk says dew fell at night, right? So there's dew on the field, then the man falls, then more dew falls on it in the morning, Kilo, to protect it. Vizeche Lize, as a reminder of this, notnim mapot tachat apat va'acheret al gabav. So therefore we put, he says a mapa, we don't really put a mapa, maybe we should, right? We put a cutting board underneath, we cover it on top to remind us that that's how the towel was. Now, this is all clear. The question is, you know, does this then explain different minhagim about when you uncover the bread? So, for example, if the reason is that you cover the bread for Kavod Shabbos because there's not supposed to be any food on the table when you make Kiddush, so great. Right after I finish Kiddush, I can uncover my Lecha Mishnah. Not such a big deal. If the reason is that you don't want the pot to see the wine, or you don't want them both in front of you when you have to make a decision between making a bracha, because really you should make a bracha on the lechem before the wine. Again, I think you could probably uncover your challah immediately after Kiddush. The third one is slightly harder, right? If you're doing it zecher leman, so presumably you want to cover the challah top and bottom until you eat it. Okay, so for that one, that might be why most of us, I don't know what the different minhagim are, most of us, I think, keep our challahs covered until we make a bracha on them, or maybe even till afterwards. Does anybody have a different minhag?
I have first.
Say again? I couldn't hear.
Take the cover off after we make kiddush.
Really? Good for you. You're probably right. Even I think you're probably in a minority, but you're probably right.
Ellie, you keep talking about the cutting board being the lower layer. It's not so. It's when you lift up the challah cover, you know, you're holding with your hand, the challah cover folds underneath the challah. That's how it's covered, top and bottom.
Did you make that up?
No.
Who told you that?
I've seen people.
That's how I've done it for 60 years that way.
First of all, you're old. Second of all, just because you did it for 60 years doesn't mean it was right. No? I don't know. It's interesting. When I pick up the challahs, I don't tuck the...
No, but when you're holding it, how are you holding it? You pick it up with the challah cover. That's right. But then your fingers are going to be folding the challah cover underneath the challah.
Yeah, let's be clear. I'm being completely defensive now because I never thought of it before. Okay, maybe you're right. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Let's keep going.
Can I ask you a different question?
You can.
I know that some Germans wash before Kiddush.
Yekis, right. Wash before Kiddush.
Not all Yekis.
Jackie?
I wash after Kiddush on Friday night and before Kiddush Shabbos day.
No, so you're a complete faker. Okay.
But he's been doing it that way for over 60 years. So of course it must be
so
right.
So we're fine. Now, my parents were Yekis and they didn't.
Really?
Really?
I know Rabbi Ryan in Yeshiva does that. He washes and then I guess somebody makes Kiddush. I don't know if it's related to the conversation we're having. Like, it's a good question. Is it
okay.
Really?
No, I thought it might be. I don't know.
Right. Could it be really you're supposed to make if you made motzi first, it would make complete sense to me. Obviously, you washed, you made a motzi, then you made kiddush. But then it'd be a problem that it wouldn't really be part of your meal. Right? I don't know. I certainly don't think it's a hefsek. Like, if you washed and you made kiddush, then you made a motzi, I can't see a problem with that. I never thought of doing it because that's not our minhag. Okay, let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 12. It's mostly a Rambam. Kasav Rambam beperek lamed din tes chayav adam lechol gimel sudos b'shabbos achas arvis v'achas shachris v'achas v'achas b'mincha. You have to have it eat three times. V'tzarech li zaher begimel sudot elu shelo yivchot mehem klal ulahosif mutar. Right, you can't have fewer than three meals. If you wanted to, you could have more than three meals. V'tzarech li kvoa kol suda mishlashtan al hayayin, says the Rambam. You're supposed to, maybe it even means make kiddush, but it's not clear to me. You have to drink wine at all three of the meals. V'liv tzoa al shtei kikarot. And to have lechem mishnah at every one of the meals, says the Rambam, including shalosh shudos. V'chein b'yom tov. That's a bit of a shock, because yom tov, there's no din of lechem mishnah. I'm sorry, there's no din of, it doesn't say lechem mishnah three times to make you have shalosh shudos. Ad kan l'shono. Umashma, says the Aruch HaShulchan, dematzrich kos l'kiddush gam besuda shlishit. It sounds like, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam thinks you should make kiddush at shalashers v'tamhu alav. People wonder. D'lo matzinu b'gemar rak kiddush pa'machas b'yom kimo b'layla. In the Gemara, there's only two kiddushes. Ulezek katfu, so that's why people explain, de'ein kavanato ala kiddush. Right? He doesn't mean make kiddush. Ela sheyishte yain b'su'uda kiderech su'uda chashuva. The Rambam is just saying, how do you have an important meal? If you want to make shalashudas look like an important meal, have wine or have grape juice. You don't have to make kiddush. You just have to have it, and that gives you a sense that you're having a more important meal. Mihu da'ata mekubalim shegam b'su'uda shlishit sarich kos yain l'kiddush. Right? I have the world's like fanciest bencher. I got it from Shimi Tannenbaum. It's the Kapitschner. Thank you. Like hard covered thing. It has everything in it. They have kiddush for shalashudas. I never saw anybody actually make kiddush on shalashudas. I've certainly seen people make a bar paragraph. And okay, says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'lo shamanu misha sakein. Never heard of it. Okay, that's, you know, when the Aruch HaShulchan says, I never heard of it, he's the Aruch HaShulchan.
Also, Rish and the Chassidus has kiddush.
Okay. Yeah, it's not such a big deal. They don't make they make Mekadesh HaShabbat. Yeah. They mumble some psukim. They say they make a bar paragafen. It's not such a big deal. But now the point we wanted. Last line says the Aruch HaShulchan, Ve'ein darkenu lechasot hapat b'su'uda shlishit. He says, our minhag is not to cover our challah at su'uda shlishit. So it's hard to know where that came from. You know, is it related to the fact that su'uda shlishit is less of an obligation than other meals? According to all the different shitas that we suggested, it shouldn't make a difference with respect to shalashudas. You know, either you cover it or you don't. Yet the minhag is otherwise. And, I don't have more to say on it than that. That's just, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you don't have to cover your challah at Shal Shudas. Why? I don't know. Okay. Let's finish with a fascinating...
Would he hold that you have to have it has to be Shlemos for Shal Shudas?
He doesn't say otherwise. I would think he would, again, let's put it this way. I think it has to be Shlemos unless you don't have them. Right? There are plenty of stories of people who came late to Shal Shudas, and the Rebbe gave him two pieces of bread. And they weren't challahs and they weren't challah rolls. Okay. Yeah. It strikes me that if you don't have two challah rolls, you take two pieces of bread. I would not take one piece of bread, if I have a loaf sitting in the refrigerator or whatever, because two is closer to Lechem Mishnah than is one. But again, you're dealing in Minhagim here. Now, last thing. Maybe I like it because it's halach l'maisa for me, less so for you. But it's interesting, and it shows the analysis. Here's the tshuva of the Igros Moshe, source number 13, in Aruch Chaim, Chelek Hei Simon Chaf. He says as follows: Makom sheyesh harbe inshi sheochlin al harbe shulchanot. Let's say you're in a hotel. Everybody's sitting on a different table, but it's not really a hotel because there they have lechem mishnah. Here, kigon bi yeshiva, where I'm going to be tonight. Shekol habachurim ochlim becheder gadol echad, right? Everybody sits at different tables in the same cheder ochel. Va'al kol shulchan ika lechem mishnah, and it's true every table has its own lechem mishnah. Avayayin lekiddush notnim rak al shulchan echad asher sham mekadesh bachur echad. Okay, but the wine is only on one table, where he says a bachur is mekadesh, in our yeshiva is a different minhag. There's a grown-up there. Okay? Umotzi kol habachurim shebecheder. One person makes kiddush, he's motzi everybody. Asher b'chol ha-shulchanot, who's sitting on all the tables. Here's the question. Im tzarich lechasot b'shat ha-kiddush et ha-chalot she'al kol ha-shulchanot. Do you have to cover the challah rolls on every table? O she'rak ha-chalot she'al shulchan ha-mekadesh tzarich lechasot. Or is it enough for you to cover the bread that's on the head table where the person's making kiddush? So like just, it's so nice because Rav Moshe is going to go through the exercise that we just went through. Hine. Mistaber la niestaiti bipshitus, says Rav Moshe. I think simply, shetzarich lechasod gam al kol ha-shulchano. Why? What's Laman Mem? Lo mistaber. Okay, says Rav Moshe. It doesn't matter. L'tam zecha leman shaya munach bekufsa. Tal milamala v'tal milamata. Shehutam hayesh meforshim.
Lo mi boy.
Excellent. Okay. Right. So it says whether if you, it doesn't matter if you hold that the reason we cover the man is because of the, I'm sorry, the reason we cover the lecha mishnah is because the man was covered top and bottom with tal, right? So then you have to cover the bread because of the bread. It doesn't matter that it's not seeing the kiddush. Shu in yan lechem ha-mishnah mitzad atzmo. That's one reason. Lo mitzad ha-kiddush dafka. Ela. Af letam ha-she'iltos. Even according to the second idea in the she'iltos. Uvarashbam dehavit dehu detesi su'uda liyikra deshabsa. Right, the first reason we saw that you want to make it clear that the meal is for Shabbos and you're excited for Shabbos. Nami avikain, da liyikra de Shabbosahu legalot et halechem rakishero in utzrichim livtzah motzi lechol. Says Rav Moshe, the whole point is, you know, taram, you only uncover the bread when you're ready to eat it. Da afa ochlin al shulchan ta'acharim. Lo hutru lechol, they can't eat. Arachash sheyetsu ba'kiddush, sheshamu mehamikadesh ala yayin. Hapat ala shulchan shelefanav, av sheya kiddush al shulchan acher. This is a Rav Moshe. If the reason you don't cover, you cover the challah, is so that you can uncover them and have excitement for eating the meal, that applies even if you're not making kiddush, or somebody else is making kiddush. The only thing that's left for a suffix, what we thought was the second reason. Right? That the reason is because you're making a bracha on the wrong thing, and the pot will quote unquote be embarrassed. She'ein mekachin alav, because we're not making kiddush on the pas. Elo alayayin. V'kevon sheheim lo asu kiddush, because all the outlying tables are not making kiddush. Elo yotzu mimisha kiddush al shulchan acher, they're just being yotzei with the main kiddush. Lo nikar kol kach al shar shulchanon me'ezek kiddush yotzu. Im mikiddush al ayayin o al apas, it's not clear to those tables what they made kiddush on. Did they make kiddush on wine or did they make kiddush on bread? So therefore, he says, maybe according to that sheet, you don't have to cover all the challahs. Aval mistaber de gamze nechshav heker dein hem mikachim al hapas. Rav Moshe says, no, it still seems that that's a good sign that they're not making brach on the pas by covering all the bread. Dim lo machmas sherotzim lekadesh dafka al hayayin hayu mikachim al kol shulchan v'shulchan al hapat b'fnei atzman. Because if they weren't making kiddush on wine, every table could make kiddush on their own bread. Because otherwise it wouldn't make sense to make them all wait for the Netil Sadaim to hear the Kiddush from somebody else. So basically, Rav Moshe goes through the same analysis that we went through to answer the question of whether if you're sitting at a table where nobody's making Kiddush, you should cover the challah on that table. And Rav Moshe's answer is yes, you should. There's no downside to doing it. Rav Moshe thinks, according to two of the explanations we had, it's 1,000%, you know, that you have to do it. According to the third one, you know, panim lakan, but better to do it. Okay, so what we saw today were two separate things. One is the interesting discussion about whether Lecha Mishnah is Doraisa or Drabanan, based on that really interesting Ritva, who says that Asmachtas are not all we think they are. Asmachtas are HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted to something, and Chazal jumped on it and turned it into a mitzvah. But, you know, he thinks if you think that Asmachtas are just some kind of mnemonic to remember things, you know, you're a min, it's a terrible idea, you shouldn't do that. Okay? That's the Ritva. The second part of the Shir was Halachos relating to Lecha Mishnah, the idea that the person who makes the bracha on Lecha Mishnah should have in mind to be motzi everybody else in the Birchas Hananin, even though we normally don't do that, because otherwise the people won't be yotze with the Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah is to make a bracha on two loaves, but if you want people to have a portion of that, they have to. Then we got around to discussing the two Shleimos, which again, the Ramah says Shleimos. In the Psukim, I think it's impossible to find. Lecha Mishnah meant an extra portion, but it's a Ramah. And finally, the whole interesting idea of covering the challah. Do you do it because of covered Shabbos? Do you do it because the man was covered top and bottom? Or do you do it because really you're supposed to make a bracha on the bread first? And since we don't make a bracha on the bread first, we cover the bread so the bread won't be embarrassed. Okay, that's interesting. We saw the Aruch HaShulchan that you don't have to have lechem, you don't have to cover it at Shalosh Shudas. We did not come up with an explanation for why. We saw the Rambam that you should make at a minimum a fake Kiddush at Lecha Mishnah because you want to establish the meal al hayayin and al halachem. And finally, we saw of Moshe with this interesting, the application of the different ideas to this halacha l'maisa question of whether everybody in the chadar ochel has to cover their challahs or only the people at the head table. And his answer is everybody has to. Okay? Yash koch to everybody. Have a great, great week. And I suppose we'll see
you each other. Have a good Shabbos.
Next
Thank week. You. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Good Shabbos, Ellie.